Movie BS with Bear and Snyder.
Can you think of anything finer than wasting some online time with these two? Can you?
It's the kind of movie where the sword budget was higher than the pants budget.
You know what he is? He's Ray Romano, but dirtier.
It's a cat and mouse game, okay? The mouse's parents have been killed, the mouse has been raped, and the mouse's home has been burned to the ground. Now, guess who did all this?
The cat?
Yes.
Say that, friends. It's time for Movie BS with Bear and Snyder.
Pitch me.
Pitch me.
Interqual.
The pants are too wet and they're too shiny.
Tom Cruise is what I would like to say crazy Cruise.
I'm going to change the story to Robert Pattinson killed a clown.
Sir, as you know, my unit is the very best.
Without these two, you won't have a clue which movies to see. So tune in every week. That's right. I said tune in weekly.
They're full of BS.
Hello and welcome to Movie BS with Bear and Snyder, the internet's only podcast. I'm your host, Eric D. Snyder, here with my co-host, Jeff Bear.
Hi, everybody. I'm the co-host, Jeff Bear. That was my co-host, Eric D. Snyder. I'm the host, too. Whatever. Mm-hmm.
We're all the hosts.
Hi. Yes. Let's get right to the action.
We have a lot of one movie to talk about. So we're going to,
But first, we'll talk about it forever.
First, though, we have an iTunes review. Folks, if you're just joining us, every single episode, we start by reading an iTunes review of our show. And this is from Austin Butternubs. Good old Austin Butternubs. No, it was Dallas Butternubs.
There's another Butternubs?
This somewhat must be someone playing off of the name Dallas Butternubs. This is Austin Butternubs. And he says...
If somebody's listening for the first time, they're already done.
I know.
They're like, no, I didn't see the first episode. I don't understand anymore.
I don't know what's going on. I'm lost. Austin Butternubs, if that is his real name, says this. My feelings about Movie BS with Bear and Snyder could best be expressed in a monologue from the made-for-cinema movie The Way Way Back, starring Steve Carell as Trent Ramsey. I think you're a three. Do you know why I think you're a three? Do you know what would make me say that? Well, from what I've observed, I can't say I see you putting yourself out there, buddy, meeting kids your own age. And from what your mom tells me, you seem content just to hang around her apartment. Is that a fair assessment? That you're happy to just not do anything? Because, see, that's a three to me. But the good news is I can tell you that there's going to be plenty of kids and plenty of opportunities at the beach for you to take advantage of this summer. And it's a big summer for all of us, really. See if we can make this work. You and your mom, me and Steph, all making it work together as a family. So what do you say? Let's try to improve that score. Aim higher than a three? That sound good? You up for that, buddy? Thank you, Austin Butternubs, for that dramatic reading. From The Way Way Back.
I just realized that's what the old-time radio voice is for.
Doing
somebody, yes, you doing monologues from movies in old-time radio voice. So now, please, give us more iTunes reviews with quoting some movies so we can hear it in old-time radio voice.
And like that one, choose a monologue that definitely fits the podcast, that definitely applies to what we're talking about. It totally describes us, I guess.
Totally, without a doubt.
We also, by the way, have the Perpetual Lunch Fund. If you go to moviebs.com, you can put $5 or something in the tip jar. And Jeff and I buy lunch with it.
Here's what you can do also. If you're like, you know what, $5? I don't think so, fellas. You could do $1 reoccurring every month.
There you go.
Word on the street is you won't miss a dollar if it disappears from your life.
Yeah, probably a dollar you would not notice.
Yep, probably. That's the word on the street. Anyway, let's talk about Jurassic World.
Let us indeed talk about Jurassic World.
It's Jurassic Park. Lots of things to do. It's Jurassic Park. It's Jurassic Park. Lots of things to do.
Only now it's Jurassic World.
Yeah, you're gonna have to totally rewrite that song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in this sequel,
you could do it to "It's a Small, Small World."
Jurassic World, it's a world of slaughter, a world of death. Oh, I like it. It almost writes itself.
You gotta do it. Can you do it?
Maybe I will.
Do you have the gumption?
I think I have the gumption.
Do you have the know-how?
I definitely have the know-how.
All right.
Jurassic World, in this universe, the events of Jurassic Park took place. That was the thing that happened.
Stop.
Yeah, they don't reference either of the sequels, but they don't contradict them in any way that I can think of anyway.
They don't contradict them, but it would have been hard to talk about the consumerism and whatnot without mentioning the time where there was a T-Rex destroying San Diego.
I did think it
would have been hard to not mention that somewhere in the movie.
I thought maybe the government hushed it up or something. Maybe nobody knows about that.
They use the Men in Black things.
There you go. But regardless, this is, you know, some 20 years later. Back on the original first island again, where it all went down the first time, they have now successfully turned it into a theme park, just as John Hammond imagined back in the old days.
Yep.
And, you know, they got dinosaurs. It's like a SeaWorld kind of thing. They got some rides and attractions and shows. And, you know, there's no way the dinosaurs can get out and hurt anybody. So end of story. It's a perfectly safe.
You just go around seeing things.
Yeah.
The end.
What could go wrong?
Well, I'll tell you. I'm glad you asked.
Now, people, as soon as this movie was announced, and especially as we started seeing ideas from it and the idea of this theme park, people would say, how in the hell would they build a theme park after what happened before? Why on earth would they do this? And some people thought that was implausible. I don't think that's implausible at all. Because
it's not implausible because we are go ahead.
Well,
you
because,
tell me why.
Because since when do we learn from our mistakes? And especially if there is profit to be made by not learning from our mistakes, we will we as a society will go with the thing that will make the money and ignore history. That's just what we do.
I can totally understand the movie's desire to beat over our heads that this is all about consumerism and corporate greed. I can understand their want to do that, but unfortunately, they bring one of the leads along for that ride for a little too long, and it's really one of those things that also makes me go, well, hang on a second. Jurassic Park theme park or Jurassic World theme park, isn't Jurassic World movie doing the same crap that you're doing here?
Yeah.
And there's not a light touch of irony or humor with this. And so that takes you a while to get into accept.
They say someone this is Bryce Dallas Howard, who plays Claire, one of the leads.
And she's the one who's in on it. She loves the marketing of this park.
Mm-hmm. She says no one's impressed by a dinosaur anymore. They want bigger, louder, more teeth, which sounds like a commentary on, oh, it's not enough for us to show you dinosaurs. You want to see people being ripped apart and eaten by the dinosaurs.
Or you want to see six superheroes in a movie instead of just one.
Right.
Or now let's have a dinosaur movie where the main dinosaur is not a dinosaur. it's a conglomeration of all those movie monsters that you guys supposedly love.
And then, so it sort of seemed like it's commenting on that desire in audiences, and then it gives us the very thing that it just kind of scolded us for wanting.
That's my big thing that took me a long time to, like, just enjoy the ride. Because there is – goodness, I mean, they're smart enough to use the same theme song.
Oh, yeah.
That alone is worth a little bit of the price of admission. Like, just hearing that thing and looking out onto the wonder. But if you notice, again, this whole corporate greed thing or whatever the case may be, in the first one, the awe-inspiring moment is a couple of scientists overlooking a beautiful field and seeing numerous dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs for the first time. Yeah, they're amazed. Yeah. They're shocked and awed.
Now, this one, when the song fully kicks in and we're supposed to embrace that moment, we have a boy who, unfortunately, is annoying. Because boys can be, and all he's doing is running around and bouncing and saying, come on, come on, come on, hurry up, let's go. And he's overlooking a theme park.
A theme park, yeah. I noticed that
too. And then the music cues, and it's just like, do you see how one's super sweet?
Yeah, and that could be a satirical, ironical thing, but it doesn't come across that way.
It does not play that way. And it's like, but you were so close. You could have played it that way. That would have been quite interesting. Or you could have had Bryce Dallas Howard's character from the get-go, Claire. You could have had her be skeptical of all of this or nervous about all of this.
That character is a train wreck. I don't know what her deal is.
In general,
this movie is very thin on characterization.
It is. Because even our lead – man hero who shows up, Owen, played by Chris Pratt, he's light on words and more about the presence and look of what a hero should be.
Yeah. A pretty thankless role for good old Chris Pratt, especially as much as people have fetishized Chris Pratt, and what he does in this movie could have been done by anyone. This is not at all. There's very little Chris Pratt personality in this.
Here's what they did in this one. Hey guys, remember how charming and adorable and fun Chris Pratt was in Guardian of the Galaxies? Okay, just watch him do this, but hold on to that memory, okay? Mm-hmm. Just hold on to that, then watch him go through this.
We'll help you. We'll let him wear a Han Solo vest for some of the time, just to help you put you in the right frame of mind.
Yeah, but he's going to be a little bit chauvinistic for no good reason, just a little bit. He is. and he's not going to really ever crack a smile. In fact, he's clearly practiced like a stern it's almost like he's practicing his Indiana Jones mm-hmm. face.
His action hero look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway.
He plays he's a raptor trainer named Owen. Ex-Navy, so he's got military experience that may come in handy.
Pause. Once again, this is like, here's a dinosaur movie, except we're going so extreme with these dinosaurs. Now we can train them, and like he's a raptor trainer, and he's got a clicker, and they're like dogs. Once again, removing the fantasy of being amongst dinosaurs. Well, we're manipulating them.
But they talk about that, and that seems plausible to me too. That if they've been doing this for 20 years now, that yes, they absolutely would have found a way, or at least they would have tried to train some of the dinosaurs. And and like they say, we've lost the marvel. Nobody cares about a dinosaur anymore. We want to see something new. And I get that. If there were a dinosaur theme park, people would very quickly become bored with dinosaurs and want something else. And then Claire, I don't know what her job is. She's some sort of director of operations or something there at the theme park. Yeah. And what must it cost to go to this theme park? Because it's on an island. First, you have to fly to Costa Rica and then take a boat to an island to get to it.
Well, if you remember...
Yes.
John Hammond was all about access for all with this park. Sure. That's what he wanted. And the new director, what's his name?
Masrani.
He appreciates John Hammond, and they have a lot of corporate sponsors. So there is a chance
this
park isn't – chance this park isn't super expensive. Like think of it as like – maybe it's like three times as much as Disney World.
See, I bet the park itself is still very expensive because that's how parks are. But maybe the transportation to get there, maybe that is sort of underwritten by corporate sponsors.
Yeah, maybe it's an all-in-one. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe you pay one price that includes your airfare.
These are questions we can jot down.
I'm not going to. Did you see what happened there?
Okay, Eric, but think about it. Now it's happened twice. Like, they're going to figure
now
it out.
That's true. That's a good point. Now they have definitely learned their lessons. Now it'll be fine.
You know who I'm thrilled was in this movie? I bet you do. Can you guess?
Jake Johnson.
Who was my favorite?
Jake Johnson.
Jake Johnson was absolutely my favorite. Mm-hmm. 100%. And, I mean, that's the role he played. He's servicing, the nerdy fanboy or whatever the case may be, or just like finally giving us a jolt of humor as well.
As someone else pointed out, he's playing the Chris Pratt role.
He is.
Being the fun comic relief. Yeah,
that's right. That's right.
And Jake Johnson, of course, was in Safety Not Guaranteed, directed by Colin Trevorrow, who directed this movie.
Which is another, and it only took four screenwriters to write this thing.
Oy.
But yeah, it was like with the guy doing Safety Not Guaranteed, the small, wonderful, little, tiny sci-fi drama. Mm-hmm. And then going to this, it is – again, it's so close to having that like corporate greed commentary inserted because all of the pieces are in place. It just doesn't do it.
Yeah. So what happens – the big thing here is they've got a new dinosaur called the Indominus Rex. And when I say new, I mean actually brand new. Because it's a hybrid. They use some T-Rex DNA and various
other 11
secret herbs and spices to make this dinosaur. Basically, it's a slightly larger T-Rex with that doesn't have useless arms. That was kind of the gist of it. And
And it can do other things.
It can do other things as they discover.
Right.
And
along the way.
Which made me laugh. They keep being like, hey, wait, it can do this. And then B.D. Wong back at the lab would say, yeah, that must be because of this DNA we gave it. I was hoping it would get sillier and sillier. Like, wait, what? The dinosaur can tap dance? Ah, yes, that must be the Fred Astaire DNA we used. Interesting.
That's how it translated itself.
I see.
We never would have thought of that as scientists.
Spoiler alert, the paddock where this Indominus Rex is kept, it gets out.
Yeah, who would have thought?
Yeah, and then there's
trouble. But they made it higher than they were even supposed to.
I know, and then it outsmarted them. This dinosaur is smarter than the people. Yeah. And then we got a couple of kids.
Oh. Yeah, there's two kids this time from parents that are about to get divorced, one played by Judy Greer. So they ship them off to stay with their Aunt Claire.
They don't matter at all. That divorce, that's like, oh, hey, it's based on a Spielberg movie. Let's put some divorce in there. It really does feel that way.
Because, hey, a spoiler, there's no talk about them getting back together at the end.
No, this divorce.
Because the divorce doesn't matter. And I found that refreshing. Because I was like, if they tack on that this couple staying together after never being in the movie, I'm going to be annoyed.
The crisis brought them back together.
Yeah. Ty Simpkins, who I know I've seen before, but I don't know in what.
He was in Insidious, the first two Insidiouses.
Okay. He plays Gray. He's the young one. Mm-hmm. And the problem with him is the way that he plays a spazzy little kid is in dialogue and delivery accurate, but his mannerisms are – it's like they literally have him continuously jogging 10 feet ahead, stopping at a mark, looking down at a mark, and then jumping up and down and saying, hurry up, hurry up.
He does that like,
and then repeating
he does that like three times for a minute.
80 times in this film. I did a tally. It's 80 times.
He's fine.
And then Zach is so well-written that he stares at teenage girls. That's it.
Yeah, and that's Nick Robinson. That's the kid from Kings of Summer. That's who that is.
Yeah.
The kids are fine. I don't know what your issue is with the kids.
They're fine. Hey, they get to drive in a ball.
They get to drive a gyroscope ball. And then you know the rest. Oh, Vincent D'Onofrio is a raptor trainer guy. His whole idea, he wants to, since we can train the raptors, we should turn them into soldiers and use them in war. Which, when I say it, sounds stupid.
And when the movie does it, it's kind of stupid, but it's also very entertaining.
Did you enjoy
like,
this?
That's the weird thing.
Did you enjoy the scene that was clearly inspired by the scene in Anchorman where Baxter the dog faces off with the bear to defend Ron Burgundy?
Yeah. I got to say, all of the action is totally worth watching.
Oh, yeah.
Like, so we've bashed and bashed and bashed.
And I'm not, and I, don't even like, I don't even mean to bash it. I don't even mean to bash
I don't,
it.
These actually, are more I don't of, either. It's all silliness and it's all excessive.
Amusing
and
observations.
It is too much. It's too much dinosaur stuff because the park is too big to get a real scope on. Like, there's constant talk of they're over here, they're over here. And then they're looking at this big map, which I think is just as big as Africa, but I'm wrong slightly.
It's the whole island, but yeah, the theme park is only on part of the island and the rest is like research and stuff. Yeah.
But like every action sequence is done pretty well, pretty entertaining. I would say it's a shame that, you know, we are in a CGI world because one of the things that works so well with Jurassic Park is it's not fully CGI and you feel the weight of the animal.
Mm-hmm. They have,
That's why, you know what? The one that's in the water, what was that one called?
I don't know. The big shark eater.
Mosasaurus, something. I don't know. It's a really big one. Because it's in the water, like you kind of believe these movements better. But, like, all of the others, it's just like, the ground doesn't feel like it's shaking properly.
The only time that it seemed like a real animal was the one where it was a big brontosaurus or something that was lying down and dying, and Chris Pratt was being nice to it. That was the only time where I felt like, oh, those actors are actually there with some kind of model actually touching something.
Yes. And it's unfortunate that they didn't think that through fully. To do this because that does matter for us.
I'm sure they thought of it and decided no, it'd be cheaper and easier let's have the computers draw a cartoon of some dinosaurs and all the actors stand in front of a screen, and that's what it looks like a lot of the time. I mean, you go with it because we're used to it, but it doesn't seem
that's the weird part. We're definitely used to this CGI world, but at the same point, we're used to it in a way that it's like, oh yeah, okay, I accept this because it does look pretty, but it doesn't, you know, on some level, it just doesn't impact you the same way.
I just remember the way that first, the dinosaurs in that first movie, even the ones that we knew were CGI and not models, seemed so real, and they felt so real, and they were heavy, and they...
When's the last time you saw Jurassic Park? We'll talk about that, because...
A year ago.
There's a few raptor scenes in Jurassic Park that are obviously the CGI version, and they're especially when they're in the kitchen area, fighting with the kids at
the end.
I'm
thinking more of the T-Rex. The T-Rex was 100%
the T-Rex. Yes, that's the key right there.
Yeah.
No matter how great you look, this new the new one's like eyes and everything else like that, no matter how great that detail is, it still doesn't feel the same. And the ending is – I liked the ending. It was so stupid.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty silly.
It's so stupid. But like, yeah, I'm entertained. This is the problem. I want to see dinosaurs fighting, and I don't want it to have to be this stupid – like – I'd rather just like a couple of humans go to this dinosaur world as opposed to the dinosaurs coming to us, which I know
so that's not Jurassic Park. You want a time travel movie.
Yeah. I want more of that Will Ferrell film.
Land of the Lost?
Yeah.
yeah, this is adventurous, sort of mid-level fun and sensibly paced thrills. It's fine. I don't know why Universal was so afraid that it was going to get terrible reviews.
Yeah, and
I
feel like it's almost one of those movies that would at least first weekend be able to withstand such a thing.
Yeah. Oh, it'll be huge, and it's perfectly fine. There's nothing particularly wrong with this movie.
Did you notice Jeff Goldblum was on the back of a couple of books that people were reading?
No, I did not notice that.
Yeah, it was like two or three scenes, just barely sticking out. There was some Jeff Goldblum book going on there. So that was interesting.
He should have been there just to stand outside the front gates of the park and warn people not to go in. That should have been his job.
I was going to say he should have been there. He could do that same thing, but have his shirt unbuttoned as he's posing with a couple of cuts. I thought it was a nice nod that the T-Rex still had the goat on the rope in the beginning.
You suppose that's the same? That's the same T-Rex from the first movie? You suppose?
Mm.
I mean, did they ever? Certainly, the first movie ended with that T-Rex still alive and happy.
Huh.
And I guess I can't think.
Once
you've got one, do you need to make any more? Do you want to make any more? I wonder.
These are great questions.
Thank you.
So
it's fine.
Jimmy Fallon was a nice little addition. It was okay.
Yeah.
Like it just shows, you know, where we are.
The corporate sponsorship.
Yeah, I'm a 6 out of 10.
Yeah, it's a B minus. It's fine.
Yeah. All right. So here's how you fix the wet blanket of Claire.
Hmm.
You bring Judy Greer to the island with her boys.
All right.
And she's uncomfortably starstruck by Owen because she's getting a divorce and she shouldn't be.
Mm.
But like Owen is like this hero kind of guy. And then you get to play off of that with no real possibility of a future with them because she's just getting divorced. He's used to being alone. He doesn't want to be saddled with a couple of kids. And like then maybe Claire's, you know, the still same annoying character. And we don't have to follow her. Instead, we follow Claire. Or I'm sorry, we follow Karen as she's trying to work to save her children.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, how'd you feel about the chemistry between Pratt and how? Was there any? Zero?
Silly.
Was it zero on a scale?
Silly, useless, yeah.
Oh, man, that was rough.
There's no reason for that.
And then the future of this franchise, because they want it to be an ongoing franchise.
For
you don't
sure.
bring back Jurassic Park unless you have many movies in store.
Right.
So do you know about, like, the script that existed where there was, like, raptors?
Where the dinosaurs – and they could talk. Yeah.
And they could talk. Doesn't it feel like that's where they want this to maybe go in future installments?
I could see that maybe they'd be setting that up, but it seems more likely to me that they really don't have any plan. They wanted to make another Jurassic Park movie, and then they'll take it from there. I doubt there's any long master plan for any of this. But
I liked it when it was smaller, mm-hmm. less humans.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't know if this franchise can get that feeling back or if they want to get that back.
That's the only new movie this week. Wait, what'd you give it? 6 out of 10?
6.
All right.
What'd you give it?
B minus.
All
right. Keeping track here. That's the only new movie this week, of course, because it's the great big dinosaur movie. That's the one people are going to go see. And so that's our only review. And so let's talk about question of the week. Or let's give the new question of the week. Last week, you did not have an assignment because we couldn't think of any more questions. And so you've given us some questions.
That was the assignment.
That was the assignment, yes, to give us some questions. And many of you responded, thank you. We found many thought-provoking and delightful cues for future Ws, including this one. Oh, I forgot to note who suggested it.
Oh.
I know. But the question is, what was a movie that you disagreed with Movie BS on?
Us.
Yeah, with one or both of us, where you just completely disagreed with us about a movie. We're very curious about this. Very curious to hear where you cursed our names or one of our names for steering you wrong.
It would probably be – well, I mean, obviously, never mind. Everything would be fine. Just hopefully it's a big difference.
Yeah.
Like hopefully you're not going to say – Eric gave it an 8. Jeff gave it a Eric gave it a B+.
Right.
Jeff gave it an 8, but I think it's only a 7.
Yeah, that's not interesting.
That's not that interesting.
That was Dallas Bennett. Dallas Bennett suggested that.
Ah, Dallas Bennett. Was that the original Butternut?
No, that was a different Dallas.
Okay, sorry.
I get his other name. I get them mixed up.
Yeah, don't blame you. And now we got Austin Butternubs.
They all look the same to me.
They're probably all related.
So you can email us your suggestions, your answers, moviebspdx@gmail.com, or you can post it on Facebook. Tell us about a time you disagreed with a Movie BS review. And we'll talk about those next week.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you again for your suggestions. The summer box office challenge is also a thing.
Barely. It's barely a thing.
It's heating up, and it's about to heat up even more this weekend. So here's where we stand. In case you're just joining us, we each chose 10 movies opening this summer. We'll be adding up the opening weekend box office of them all and see who has the most. Now, just the luck of the draw, as it happens, now 7 of my movies have opened and only one of yours has.
Yeah. We've never had this big of a swing before in terms of release dates.
For some reason, I chose a bunch of May movies. Yeah. And so at this point... And I had Spy. That was my most recent one. At this point, my total is 267.9. We'll say 268 million. And you, with Avengers Age of Ultron, have 191 million.
All right, so you've had 7 movies
mm-hmm.
come out?
Mm-hmm.
And 270. Okay. So your average is a little less than 40 million a movie.
Something like that.
All right. And then what is my average?
Your
so
average
far
is 191 million per movie.
Okay.
All now, right. I do feel like most of your remaining films are going to bring down that average.
Well, but we don't know.
We don't know for sure. No, that's true. That's true. Ted 2 might have 190 million opening weekend.
Or 192.
Maybe, yeah.
No, here's the key. This is fun. So Jurassic World has to be your number one movie. That's your goal. If you want to win this, you have to make sure.
That makes sense.
Have to do your part to make sure the Jurassic World makes more than your current highest, which is 69 million from Pitch Perfect 2.
Yeah, and I think it will. I think Jurassic World is going to be huge. Huge!
All right, so all that 3D money.
That's true.
You get that 3D money.
Yeah.
Oh, that's sweet, sweet 3D money.
It'll probably make $400 million this opening weekend. That's my prediction,
and,
$400 million.
And then, finally, I get to play again the following weekend. And I'll get Inside Out. So if Inside Out, third pick,
mm-hmm.
can beat your third pick, which was Mad Max at 45 million, I'm sitting pretty. If not, then we have to wonder.
Maybe, yeah. Inside Out makes me nervous because that'll be big.
My first 5 should make you very nervous.
Nope. Fantastic Four, I think, is going to flop.
Really?
I do. And what else? I think you've got a couple that open on Wednesdays, so that's going to hurt you. You've got three that open on Wednesdays, actually.
Is it going to, like, Hot Pursuit hurt me? Or, like, just, you know, sting me a little bit?
I don't know, but it's certainly not going to help you. And I think Trainwreck is going to be one of those movies that we all love and tell people to go watch, and they don't.
And it'll be, like, an $8 million.
Yeah, opening. That's what I think.
Yeah. No, we don't know what the future holds for me. We just don't.
Or for me.
We've tried to predict.
And then I have Ant-Man and Pixels, both of which could be huge or could be flops.
Pixels will be interesting because it was your second to last pick. And mm-hmm. if it brings in some money, that'd be special for you. It'd be real special. Do you know if Spy performed what they expected? Or I don't know.
I think it did about what they thought it would. It made $29 million, $30 million. Yeah. I think that's about what they thought. They, whoever they are.
Yeah. If you had to do it all over again, would Poltergeist be your sixth pick?
No, I would not have. I would not have chosen Poltergeist at all if I had to do over again, or Hot Pursuit. But that was my last pick anyway. That was a desperation.
I'm still good with my Avengers pick. I feel like.
Yeah, that was a pretty good choice. It seems like.
So far, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're just cranking through the show today. Getting all our work done. That's nice.
When I was in Portland, I didn't measure you for temporary tattoo placements.
That's right. You didn't. Oh, well. Maybe you won't need to because maybe you're going to lose.
Nah.
Let's play a game. You know what game we have not played in forever?
Go on.
Interquel.
Interquel.
Dun, dun, dun. Interquel.
Interquel.
The way we play this is we'll each think of a movie, and then we'll pretend that those are parts 1 and 3 in a trilogy, and we'll make up what the second movie would be that would connect them.
Wow. When you look up my movie mm-hmm. on the internet, you have to be careful.
Share a
do you
title
have your
with
movie?
Pornography?
Do you have your movie?
I do have my movie.
I have my movie. What's right. your movie?
My movie's the original Jurassic Park.
Okay. So how did you come up with that one? Give us your, because I have an interesting story about mine too. So right. like
because it's fresh in my mind because we were talking about Jurassic World.
Okay.
And I remember how it ends.
That is for you. That is it's one of key, the tough ones. All right. So mine is Swingers because Vince Vaughn was in Jurassic World and we were thinking about Jurassic Park.
He wasn't in Jurassic World. Vincent D'Onofrio was in.
Or, no, not Jurassic World. I'm so sorry. He was in The Lost
World. He was in part.
The Lost Park? What was it called?
The Lost World. The Lost World.
It was. Is was it called Jurassic Park, The Lost World, or was it just The Lost World?
Or it was just the Lost World. It was The Lost World Jurassic Park, actually.
The Lost World Jurassic Anyway, that's the reason I picked Vince Vaughn.
Gotcha. Okay.
So just like you, I had something on my mind, but then I, you know.
So we got Swingers.
But if you type Jurassic Swingers Park. In.
Sure.
There is the second thing for me, because probably my computer thinks I'm still in Portland, Oregon, is something called Swingers Clubs. Oh. And I'm not clicking it.
What was the name of that place that we were going to go check out? Remember the one? There was a Swingers Club.
Tours.
What was the name of that place? It was like the Velvet Rope or something.
Yeah. There was some place that offered free tours, and I was just like, I kind of want to just walk around and just be grossed out.
And your wife didn't want to go, so she gave us
permission
to go,
not.
And then we never did, and then you moved away. But now you're moving back, so finally we'll have the chance to go check out the Velvet Rope.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Swingers in Jurassic Park. What's going to...
All right.
I
feel like... Let's see. It almost makes more sense for Jurassic Park to go first.
Okay.
Because otherwise...
How
you
does...
can't really have... Because the dinosaurs are just starting Jurassic Park. Well, they have a pile of dinosaurs.
Yeah, they've got some. And then we're gonna have to phase dinosaurs out in part two because there aren't any in Swingers.
What do you mean there's no dinosaurs in Swingers? You're right. So Swingers should start.
We can do that.
And it starts with Heather Graham and
it doesn't matter how it starts. How does it end up?
And it ends with them happily dancing. And then they go to the restaurant, and Vince Vaughn is accidentally flirting. Well, he's he's flirting with a woman at a restaurant, but then it turns out that the woman was just talking to her baby, and it's like, oh, maybe he's not as cool as we all thought, It's still a lot of fun. And then the movie ends.
So
right. John Favreau, Heather Graham, and Vince Vaughn are definitely in it.
John Favreau and Vince Vaughn and Heather Graham. Yes, and so they are any of them scientists at all?
I think we need a little bit of dinosaurs, because if you remember, they all exist, so we just have to kill anybody at the end of this second one, and then we're good to go.
Well, somehow these people need to connect with the people who are creating dinosaurs. Maybe maybe one of them, maybe they are friends with some, maybe they're friends with like the
what's the guy's name? The scientist, the main scientist who's genetically creating all of these.
In Jurassic Park?
Yeah.
I don't remember which.
He was in Park and he was in World.
Oh, B.D. Wong.
Yeah. So maybe he has.
Maybe they meet that guy. They meet that. They're friends with that guy somehow.
He's got a hot sister. And Vince Vaughn decides, hey, maybe she's the one. Even though I've never thought about the one before, maybe this will be fun. They all go on vacation together to visit D.B. Wong.
B.D. Wong, who plays Dr. Henry Wu.
I'll get it eventually.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure you will. I'm sure you will. Just like you've gotten John Favreau.
John Favreau.
Okay. Dr. Henry Wu, yes. They go, okay, good. They go to visit him, and like his sister is like Lucy Liu or somebody. Get somebody like that to play his sister. What?
I'm not going to have you go through the list of all the Asian actresses that you know right now.
There aren't very many that are like famous and popular and
I know.
That's
good job.
They go with her and to visit Dr. Wu on the island. So so maybe we see like some dinosaur embryos or like some little babies or something. But the point is that so now the guys are scamming on. Are the guys scamming on the women they meet on the island when they're visiting?
They're
Dr.
not really
Wu?
Scamming anymore. They've moved. They're moving on. They're thinking about maybe they're more talking about like the next phase. Like, do we even consider getting married one day to these women? I don't know.
And Wayne Knight, forget his name in Jurassic Park, but Newman from Seinfeld. Yep. He's there, and he loves these swingers guys. He wants to emulate them and learn all their techniques and tricks.
Yeah, and he's buying them drinks and everything else like that. Is he actually? He's not. He's not John Hammond's son in the movie, right? Because there's one like dad reference, but that's more about, right? Is he the son?
To Wayne Knight? Wayne Knight's not related, no.
Okay.
Dennis Nedry, that's his name.
Okay. Then it's a throwaway deadline.
Dennis Nedry, and he's trying to get tips.
And Ray Arnold is in the group, and he's awesome. That's Samuel Jackson. He's still got the cigarette dangling the whole time. So he's there. Everybody's setting up.
All right. It's always telling people to hold on to their butts. That's
they're
thing.
Partying with the guys.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Not only are they partying with them, maybe somehow, because like everybody's having a great time, they're swinging.
Yeah, there's a lot of swinging going on.
Maybe remember how the whole thing was like, don't worry, they're all females.
Mm-hmm,
there's no reproduction possible.
Right.
Maybe like Vince Vaughn figures out a way to like, I don't know.
Have sex with them?
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
So, maybe Vince Vaughn's character has sex with some of the dinosaurs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I see.
And that's how, that's how they find the eggs in Jurassic Park.
Sure.
And they all look like Vince Vaughn a little bit if you look close.
Maybe they've got some baby dinosaurs that are still small and relatively harmless. But as they're partying around in the lab there and swinging, some of them get loose. And so there's some shenanigans with the dinosaurs. Nothing terrifying, but like sort of fun. Oh, whoops. And at the end, they're like, oh, well, good thing they're small. What if these things escaped when they were full size? Wouldn't that be
okay,
something?
So it's totally just like lighthearted shenanigans.
Yeah.
Like one of them accidentally is laying in the grass and like the brontosaurus almost eats them because the brontosaurus loves grass.
Right. Just silly stuff.
Stuff like that.
Still
or like this stegosaurus, a baby stegosaurus swinging its tail. Just imagine if that was bigger.
Right. And because it's a sequel to Swingers, so we're keeping in that vein and sort of slowly moving toward Jurassic Park.
So it's just taking that swingers vibe. Mm-hmm. Maybe Heather Graham shouldn't be there.
She probably wouldn't do it.
Maybe she dies at the end. Maybe we have that. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, whoa, this is serious. Let's put an end to all of this stuff.
Like a dinosaur kills her somehow?
Yeah. Or maybe there's an accident that's kind of dinosaur related.
Or she gets in a fight with one of the dinosaurs because they're jealous because Vince Vaughn's been sleeping with them both. Her and one of the dinosaurs.
Well, she wouldn't be, but yeah. Because she wasn't with Vince Vaughn.
Oh, who was she with?
That just doesn't make sense, Eric.
Oh, sorry. Who was she with? Who was she with?
Heather Graham?
Yeah.
John.
Oh, okay. All right. Swingers was back when Vince Vaughn and John Favreau were the same person, you may recall. They're not anymore, but they were there.
Half the current size that they are.
Yeah. So that's what I mean. There's a fight because they're fighting over John Favreau,
okay.
Which doesn't make sense when I say it out loud, fighting over John Favreau. But I guess that's a thing that could happen. Hey, it's a fantasy world. In a fantasy world, sure. And, the movie is called Swinging Back to the Jurassic.
The Jurassic Swing.
Jurassic Swingers. Jurassic Swingers. Jurassic Swingers.
Fine.
Yeah. Some people will go to it thinking that it's going to be about dinosaurs that are swingers, and they'll be a little disappointed that it's just Vince Vaughn and his friends. But still.
I mean, they're swinging with other DNA.
Yeah, yeah.
Those dinosaurs.
There you go. That's how you play Interquel. That's exactly how it works. You can play at home or at parties. Play this with your friends.
Sometimes it works pretty well.
And if you guests of Movie BS receive a free copy of the Movie BS with Baron Snyder home game, where you can play all your favorite games at home.
It's just jotted down on a 3x5 card. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's the
and
home game.
We sell it for $29.95 at Target. Hey, what'd you watch?
I watched Jurassic Park.
Oh, why?
I'm going to do a film face-off of Park vs. World.
Huh, interesting idea.
Yeah, thanks. No big deal. So Jurassic Park was interesting because it once again reminded me of how many non-dinosaur-related action moments there are mm-hmm. in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's really weird because that's my knock on it. It's like, hang on, you have dinosaurs. But it is good action. It just doesn't matter for anything other than the difficulty of an escape
right.
on an island,
and
let alone an island that has dinosaurs.
It wisely doesn't overdo the dinosaurs.
Yeah,
leave them wanting underdoes. More. It doesn't underdo. Leave them wanting more. Leave them wanting more.
Mm.
Save the overdoing for all the sequels.
Yeah.
I remember in the second one, too, there was a very suspenseful thing where they're like in a car, it's hanging over the cliff, and they're on the windshield, and it's cracking or something like that. And it had nothing to do with dinosaurs.
Yes.
And it was one of the best, most thrilling parts of the movie, and it had nothing to do with the dinosaurs. Which, again, that's great. We're not over-relying, not using the gimmick.
Yeah, whereas World is a little bit different.
Yeah, quite a bit. Jurassic Park is great, though, huh?
It is really good. The music is just fantastic in that film throughout. Like, and not only that, the music is leading the way in a couple of scenes where it's just like, oh, we're changing the music to let you know something's coming,
mm-hmm.
Which is nice. I like the foreshadowing. Yeah, it's good. And it's so great and important to have Sam Neill and Laura Dern be the smart ones and be awed by it all. Like, that's
yeah.
a really nice thing. Very smart to do. Yeah.
That's a good movie. I watched a film called 3 Days of the Condor.
Ooh.
Have you seen that movie?
Robert Redford.
Mm-hmm. And Faye Dunaway.
It's
from 1975, directed by Sidney Pollack or
yes.
Sidney Lumet?
No.
One of the Sidneys.
Isn't it Pollack? Oh, maybe I could be wrong.
I know it's somebody named Sidney Pollack. Yes, Sidney Pollack. And Redford plays he's a CIA guy, just like an analyst, just reads stuff. And there's an attack on the secret CIA office where he works. Everybody's killed. So now he's on the run trying to figure out who he can trust. One of those things. Condor is his code name. That's why it's 3 Days of the Condor. And it's pretty good. It's a good basic, you know, spy movie, that kind of thing. My only beef with it is he, as he's on the lam and doesn't know who he can trust, he carjacks Faye Dunaway because he needs a vehicle and needs someplace to hide, goes back to her house, and she quite rightfully thinks that he's, like, going to rape and kill her or whatever. She doesn't know what his deal is. She's terrified of him. And just sort of held, and she's held captive. He does, like, tie her up at one point because he has to. And then they wind up falling in love or whatever, having sex. And I just don't buy that. I just don't buy her falling for a guy who, up until 5 minutes ago, she was afraid was going to murder her. It seems so tacked on and implausible in the movie.
Yeah. I Redford in the 70s, though.
I mean, sure. Who wouldn't bed down with Redford in the 70s? But I feel like it would need more of a distance between when I thought you were going to rape and kill me. Like, let's let some time pass.
You just don't get what life was like back then.
I guess I don't. But Max von Sydow, isn't it? John Houseman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good cat. It's on Netflix. You can watch it anytime you like if you got Netflix. 3 days of The Condor.
Yeah, I think I've watched that in the last, and I've only seen it the one time, but I think I've watched that in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it feels like.
It's good stuff. It's rated R. It's a light R. It's a light R. And that's all I watched. Oh, you know what else? I watched Insidious Chapter 3 last week.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
you did.
Yeah, they didn't really screen it very much.
Do you want to tell me a little bit about that?
Well, it's not very good.
Okay.
The first Insidious was really good, and the second one was so-so, and now the third one is eh. It's a prequel, if that matters to anyone. The psychic character, played by Lynn Shay, who was in the first two, this is a prequel that's sort of about her, how she comes to be doing this. And she helps a teenage girl who had a near-death experience and now is being haunted. And it's a pretty generic, like, haunted house kind of thing. There's doesn't expand on the mythology at all or anything. I just feel like I've seen 1,000 movies like this. Like, I just saw the Poltergeist remake a few weeks ago that was very similar to this. And if you're not going to do anything sort of new or interesting with it, then why do it? I'm just saying.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you.
So don't bother with Insidious Chapter 3. That's what I say. That's what I say.
They're not going to put that on the poster.
Well, I guess not. That's my loss. That's it then. That's the show.
That's it?
Yeah, we cranked right through it. Sometimes they're long, sometimes they're short.
Oh.
It's summertime. Let's get out and play. Everyone go outside and play.
All right.
Jurassic World is okay. It's decent.
Yes.
It's worth seeing.
Yeah, it's a movie that, you know, I was pretty much right on the fence between a 6 and a 7 just because of awe and spectacle and all that kind of thing.
It's fun. It's fun. But no, it's certainly no Jurassic Park. But what is?
It's not.
And question of the week, tell us a time that you disagreed with one or both of us on one of our reviews. The more vehement the disagreement, the better.
Yes, definitely.
As far as conversation goes. Tell us about that. Let us have it. Let us have it with both barrels or all three, however many barrels you have. Let us have it with them.
I wish I had a barrel.
And that's all. Hey, until next week, for MovieS with Baron Snyder, I'm Eric D. Snyder.
I am Jeff Baer.
Thanks for listening, and good day.
I said good day.